Welcome back to the Bread and Butter Podcast. I'm your host, Brecklin, and we're back to hang out for another week. Thanks for being here. It has been what feels like a very long time, but I know it hasn't actually been that long. It has been a week and a half. I don't even know how long it's been. Like, it really, I feel like at this point I have no sense of time because we finally, and I actually feel kind of nervous saying this because I feel like it's such a taboo thing and has been for so long, but we actually got COVID. It finally caught up to us. We had a good run. We had a good run, 3 years, never had it. Still don't know how we got it. We are both vaccinated, and it has absolutely brought us to our knees. I don't know. I cannot remember the last time that I've been that sick. It's like the weirdest combination of flu symptoms and also like a bad cold, and the fatigue is off the charts, at least for me. And yeah, like, I've never taken so many naps. I'm not a napper. I wish that I was, but I just never have been able to nap very well. And I am a champion napper. This weekend I took like 2-3 hour naps. Honestly, been kind of living it up. But before that all happened, I'll give you kind of an update on some fun things that have been going on. So first of all, my sister came out to visit. And I have three sisters. We are definitely a family of girls. I have one younger brother and three sisters. And so my oldest, the oldest of the other sisters, I'm the oldest, but the next oldest sister came out and visited. And she just finished her freshman year, or is finishing her freshman year of college. And it just has been so fun to watch her be an adult, because we're not that far in age. We're 4 years. And I don't know. I have always been close to her. But our relationship has changed over the years. I mean, she used to come and like answer people back for like to prom with me. And I don't know, I did like all of her makeup for her high school dances. And we just have been like far enough apart that we've always had very different lives, but then close enough to be close. And she finally was able to come out. She hadn't been out here yet. And we had so much fun. And I say this all the time, and it's probably just because I won't get over it for a while, but having siblings is the trippiest thing ever, especially as an adult, because it's like this ultra close best friend that you have that's kind of like built in. And you know that they're never going to go anywhere. They're always going to be in your life, which is the best feeling ever. But then they know you so well. And they know you in a way that like even your spouse could never know you, because they grew up in the same house. And it's just such an interesting relationship. It's like, you know, you'll be talking to them and you'll realize that like in some ways you have like all of these similar memories. And then in other ways you have very different memories of maybe even like the same event. It's just so amazing and weird, and it was just so fun to have her here. We did all sorts of things. We even like went to like an art museum, which is not like a very typical like sister activity for us, but it was so fun. Highly recommend going to art museums if you kind of treat it like a gigantic meme making fest, which is what we did. And I have no regrets. It was so fun. I don't think I've ever enjoyed going to an art museum more, except for one that I went to in Boston with Trenton, where we did the same thing. Highly recommend. It makes it so much fun. Don't come for me. I know that's like not probably giving the art the respect it deserves, but I still did enjoy it. I still was amazed by it. Still felt all the art feels, but also had some fun at the same time. We also showed her, just in honor of the new season, we showed her the first season of Ted Lasso, which she hadn't seen. She's a soccer player, and it was so fun to show her. There's nothing better than showing someone that you love a show that you love so much, and we love Ted Lasso. Here's my plug for Ted Lasso. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you are not here for the language, you might not like Ted Lasso, but here's the thing. It is worth it. It is worth every, what is the word? every swear word. It really is. I genuinely feel like Ted Lasso makes me want to be a better person. I'm like, heck, makes me want to be a coach. I will be signing up as one of my children's soccer coaches just to live my Ted Lasso dreams. It is so inspiring. And if you've seen the first season, I'll try not to give spoilers. If you're going to dip your toe into the Ted Lasso world, try not to give spoilers. But in season one, there is a probably like 5 to 10 minute scene. It's not even that long. It's probably like 2 minutes. There's a scene that, first time I watched it, absolutely wrecked me. And I'll cry during movies, but I've never cried that way. I was almost like angry. Like Trenton looked over at me and he's like, yeah, I expected you to cry. Maybe like a couple like little tears, but I was like heaving, like crying so hard. I was inconsolable. And Trenton did not cry, which I'll never understand. But I talked about that sibling magic before. And when we showed her that scene, we were like tandem crying, like absolutely weeping, like and for the life of me, I'm so upset that I don't have it on video. I don't know why I would have thought to do that in the moment, but it was the funniest thing because we have like the same cry voice. So I like look over at her and I'm like, yeah, she's crying, we're both crying. And just kind of all at once, just this like in tandem wail, just like, ugh. And we cried so hard. We laughed so hard because we were crying so hard. It was just so funny. For the light, Trenton was just sitting next to us, just dying. Oh, it was just a golden, golden moment. It was so funny. So yeah, we were very sad to see her go, but it was so fun to hang out with her. We brought her house hunting with us. Because yeah, we are house hunting and it has been crazy. And I mean, we're not shopping to buy, we're just shopping to rent, but we also kind of know that we're going to be in our next place for a while. And so we want to be comfortable there. And then it's like this thing where you're like, okay, you know, like, yeah, we want to be comfortable, but what does that look like? And we're going to be in Charlotte, which is not like city. You know what? I actually take that back. It is definitely more a city feel, even more a city feel than Raleigh, which is where we currently are. And it's been really overwhelming to be like, how close do you really want to be to your job? Like how far is too far? But then if you're like in the city, then you'll be living in a shoebox. So we've just kind of been trying to navigate that. And I mean, we have like a couple things that we really, really want that like we're really pushing for. First of all, we really want a yard, just even a tiny little bit of a yard so that Benny can be off leash. We're never allowed to have him off leash here. And it just has been sad. I just feel bad for him. I saw this TikTok thing that was like, here's to the dogs of our 20s who never had like the big enough, like the big yards that they deserved. And it did a number on me. And so I'm like, we got to get a yard. But we also want to do like a garden, which I'll talk about this whole, the rest of the episode. So don't you worry, but we do want a garden, do want a little yard. Yeah, that's actually probably one of our biggest things. That, like a decent distance from work. I really would like wooden floors. I know that sounds like cold and sterile, but I get so freaked out by other people's carpet. And that sounds so snobby, but have you ever used a carpet cleaner? If you've ever used a carpet cleaner and seen that like gray water that it pulls up out of your carpet, then you will not fault me for not wanting to step foot on pretty much any carpet that I did not see installed with my own two eyes. So those are just a couple of things that we're looking for, and it's been fun and exciting. And yeah, I guess send all the tips because we're still very new at this process, not quite sure what we're doing, but we are really excited. Feeling ready to kind of settle down for a little bit. Let's see. Oh yeah, back to the garden. So like I said, we've been sick and it's been awful, but also we're very lucky. We've been pretty like able to get around and do things safely. Obviously, when I say get around, we're not like going out much. But it just kind of reminded me just kind of this time we've been quarantined in our house for like a week. And it just kind of reminded me of when things shut down the first time and what a big deal it was. And I will be the first to admit, and I do feel kind of bad saying this, I really liked quarantine. Genuinely. And I know that's like a very privileged thing to say, like, oh my gosh, I loved quarantine. I did. I just hung out with my family, with Trenton, and we had a ball. I loved it. I've always been kind of a homebody. So, I mean, while I am ready to get out and do stuff, quarantine really was not that bad. And I feel like quarantine changed all of us. And just now, like 3 years later after quarantine, we're starting to realize how quarantine changed us. And I think that this like whole, I mean, you can tell by the title of the podcast, this whole like homesteading, like obsession with like cottagecore and like bread making and sourdough and gardens and plants, I think it all started with COVID. I really do think, and we were just so starved to like do things with our hands and be creative and like pass the time in like wholesome ways. We just wanted comfort that I just feel like the seed was planted. And now 3 years later, we're like, dude, all I want is to live in a cottage and grow a garden and make soup. And that's it. That's all I want. And no shame. And it's just been kind of this fun like shift, because I feel like we were all kind of like in our girl boss era like year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, which all for it, definitely all for it. And now we're kind of like making this shift. We're like, oh, actually, like I really just want to make bread. And not that those things have to be like mutually exclusive, like you got to be a girl boss or you got to make sourdough, but it has been kind of like a fun shift. Politics aside, you'll never find me anti-feminining anything. Feminist for life. But yeah, it's been kind of a fun shift. And I just feel like it's been such a movement that it deserves some attention. It deserves a little podcast monologue, if you will. And so I've just kind of been reflecting a little bit on like this massive shift that we've seen like in social media. And you know, we went from like super like minimalist, like bare bones, even like home decor, like bare bones, kind of like modern, maybe a little bit of farmhouse, to like full cottage core. And I just am so curious why it is so comforting to us. I don't know if it just is like throwing it back to like our princess loving days where we just wanted everything to be cozy and pretty and flowery and feminine, but it just seems to be kind of like healing us a little bit. Like we've had kind of, like I said, like our girl boss era, and we've had like, I'm trying to think what else, like the other like phases that we've been going through on social media, especially for a while. I feel like we all wanted to be like beach babes, and that was an era. And then I feel like we kind of dipped our toe with like the coastal grandmother, and then we just dove in. We're now like, we're painting sourdough bread. And I, like I said, I'm absolutely here for it. I mean, look at the title of my podcast. I am here for the bread and for the butter. And as I've kind of like looked back, you know who we owe so much to? And I'm just name dropping like there's no tomorrow over here. We owe so much to Hannah from Ballerina Farm. We do. She has fueled our cottagecore obsession. She's made us think about butter in an entirely different way. We have all been at home over the weekend trying to make our own mozzarella. And honestly, I mean, we owe a lot. We owe a lot to Hannah. And before you ask, I have asked her to be on the podcast. We did a bunch of emailing back and forth, me and her team. And I was obsessed. I was like, we're gonna make it happen, it's gonna work, she's gonna come on, and I'm gonna get to ask her all of like my dream questions about like her life and what she's doing, and you know, is it really that ideal, and how did this even happen? And she said no, which is totally fine. I totally understand. She has a huge family. She has, what, 8 kids, and they're running a full-on business, a full-on farm, so definitely get it. But we owe so much to Hannah. And I also, before you ask again, I haven't given up. Okay. It's been in my wheelhouse lately. I'm like, hey, I need to reach out again because I am that person. Like, I have reached out multiple times to some people and sometimes it works. Like, they just don't see the email before or they're just busy. That's like one of my biggest tips. You can reach out more than once, especially if you're respectful. But yeah, I will be asking again because I would just love to talk to her about all that she does. I mean, how many questions would we all have alone just about home birth? Not a home birth gal myself. You will definitely, even if I wanted to, I don't think Trenton would ever be okay with a home birth. He would just be far too nervous, which honestly, love that for me. He would definitely be carting me off to a hospital. But yeah, not a home birth gal myself, but I have so many questions about a home birth and I'm so fascinated and I just want to know about how her mind works and where her grit comes from. And yeah. And I mean, I also know that her husband, if I am informed correctly, which I may not be, comes from money. I mean, I feel like we've seen kind of some of those TikTok conspiracy, which I don't understand why that makes people so upset. They'll be like, why are you pretending to make bread and have lots of kids? You have so much money. And I'm like, those two things actually have nothing to do with each other, but it seems to make some people upset, which I don't understand. But yeah, obviously they are people of means to be able to purchase that kind of land and to be running their operations. They obviously have a team around them helping them, but I'm still so fascinated and I just would love to pick her brain. So if anyone else has connections that I don't have that I can get to sit down and chat with Hannah, please hook me up because I would be just beyond thrilled. She is like the real life Rapunzel that lives in the middle of nowhere and does all the artsy fun things. And when I get nervous about motherhood, I think about her. I'm like, listen, she's got like kids running around all the time. And I feel like she doesn't put on a show of like, oh, it's perfectly clean. And oh, like I'm, but she just seems chill. Like she's like, yeah, we're in chaos. It's freezing. Sometimes the weather sucks. Like we're all out here doing our chores. And like, yeah, like it is what it is. And you just must have to be that kind of person to one, have that many kids and to live that kind of life. So I honestly have a ton of respect. And yeah, would love to talk to her. So of course we do just have to pay homage a little bit to the queen Hannah of what is she the queen of? I guess homesteading, making bread, making mozzarella. I don't know. Also a couple of other random thoughts that I've had about kind of like this homesteading movement. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Hunger Games, just because of how, when you think about it, it is so weird and honestly, like so privileged of us that we are like creating ways to kind of like work with our hands. We're like almost like creating work for ourselves, if that makes sense. It's kind of like how, I don't know where I saw this, but like, how odd is it that we have to go and like find heavy things to lift to like keep ourselves strong? Like how privileged are we that we like go to the gym and just go and lift weights to stay fit instead of being like, oh, gotta like haul this around the farm, or I don't even know, chop down this tree and that's, you know, how I stay strong because I have to. And I do think it's kind of interesting and maybe like a callback to just kind of something that's innate within us that we want to participate in that kind of work. And it is like a very privileged way to do so. And you kind of just do it for fun. It's like, I'm sure that our ancestors are like rolling over in their graves that we're like, now I can bake my own bread. And they're like, go get it from the store. Like it's right there. It's sliced. Just get it. But I do think it's just kind of like human nature to want to like create with our hands and to get satisfaction from that. And I'm making fun of it a little because I do think it's a little bit of a funny movement, but I'm also like definitely not above it. Like I said, I'm leading the charge. And the fact that like we're hoping to have a backyard has just honestly made me like all the more feral about it. Like I'm like, oh my, maybe we should get bees. Maybe we can have honey. And this is like, I even have been like excited about baking bread, and homegirl, I am allergic, like highly allergic to wheat. There's no, there is no like way in the distant future that I'm going to be able to like consume fresh bread, but I don't know. I can't get away from it. Just the idea. We're hoping to have like berry bushes, and I'm like, we'll probably get like 5 raspberries, especially the first summer. And I'm like, we're going to be bottling just jars and jars of jam, which definitely will not be the case. But I'm telling you, I have drunk the Kool-Aid. I am right there with you. Haven't nailed down the homesteading outfits yet, but you'd better believe that I have my eye on the perfect set of like short overalls that I can wear all summer out in my garden. Let's just talk garden for a second, actually, because this is definitely, like I said, it's in my wheelhouse right now, thinking about it all the time. There's never a time when I'm not thinking about it. And in our little quarantine, we planted seeds. And I'm telling you, I'll just be upfront, I spent probably $60 just on seeds and like a little seed tray. And that's, that's a decent amount of money to spend on seeds. But at the same time, we're going to hopefully, knock on wood, we're going to be enjoying the produce for months and months. So here's what we have lined up. We have, first of all, tomatoes. And I'm so excited for tomato sandwiches, which I had never had before I started dating Trenton. And tomato sandwiches will change your life. You got to get good bread. Some nice toasty bread, maybe with some seeds, some sunflower seeds. I also think a good like jalapeno cheddar, great option. So toast your bread. Not enough that it will like rip up the roof of your mouth, but toast it enough that it's got a little crunch. Butter it. And hang with me. So butter it on both sides. Not both sides of the bread, but butter both of the slices of bread. Add a little bit of mayo, okay? Yes, we're going butter, we're going mayo, okay? We're not trying to, this is not a, it's not a bad recipe, it's not a heart healthy recipe. Go ahead, put the butter, put the mayo, slice your tomatoes really thin, salt and pepper the tomatoes, do not skip this step, and then you can get a little crazy, okay? If you want to add some cheese, if you want to add some lettuce, if you want to add some chimichurri, some pesto, slap it on there. So good. You don't need anything else. You can go crazy. You can do the BLT, but just a tomato sandwich all on its own. I am so excited to have tomato sandwiches all summer. So we have 3 kinds of tomatoes. We have like a rainbow, I think it's called a rainbow like pole blend. That's like kind of like climbing cherry tomato. We have Roma tomatoes, and my plans for those are mostly like salsa. We eat a lot of pico de gallo. And then I would love to be able to do, like marinara sauce if we have a bunch of extra. Roma, as far as I'm aware, makes really good marinara sauce. I've done it maybe a couple times. So yeah, I would love to do that. We have tomatillos for the express purpose of making Costa Vida ranch. That is literally the only reason we got it. And I'm sure there's like other ways you can use tomatillos, but none that I'm interested in. All I want is for that creamy ranch goodness to be covering everything possible all summer. So we have the tomatillos. We're going to have green beans and peas, sugar snap peas. We also have, and this is new to me, I wasn't aware of this as much, we're planting a bunch of marigolds because I guess marigolds are like, they act as kind of like a natural, like insect deterrent for like some pests. So you can plant marigolds like down in with your tomatoes, which I think is the cutest idea. And I love marigolds and they grow so easy. So we're planting a bunch of marigolds to hopefully plant kind of with our tomatoes because the pests here are actually next level. So I'm actually kind of worried. So yeah, we're going to be planting marigolds and lavender probably to help kind of keep the bugs off. We also have cantaloupe, which I'm so excited about. We are going to have some summer squash, not zucchini, because has anyone ever actually grown a zucchini and then have been happy that they've done that and been proud of their accomplishments? No. Everyone, and zucchini is like that college class that you took that is a gimme, and so you don't really even care that you got an A because you never had to do anything anyway. That is zucchini to me in the gardening world. Metaphorically, it is the easy A plant. So we will not be growing zucchini, but we will be growing some summer squash. Let's see, what else do we have? We have some cilantro we're going to give a go. We have some basil. Oh, what else do we have? Oh, we have beefsteak tomatoes. I said we had 3 kinds and then I forgot to mention the third one. What else do we have? We have a couple different herbs that I'm really excited about. And yeah, that's just kind of the basic lineup. And I'm so excited. We're not going for anything like onions or carrots or potatoes, which I think would be fun. I don't know if it's worth it. I'd rather just kind of buy those from the store because we have no real way to store them. Once we have them, we don't have any kind of root cellar or anything like that. So that is kind of that is the lineup so far. And I'm so sorry if you couldn't care less about gardening, but we're so excited. And that has been just like forefront of my mind. I'm so excited because I feel like just lately I've been eating a lot more plants, just for health and in like simpler forms than usual. I just have been kind of retraining myself to be able to just eat carrot sticks, which I know sounds so stupid, but I just felt like I couldn't. It had to be with, and not that there's anything wrong with this, but it had to be with like ranch or hummus or cooked up in like a honey herb sauce. And that's great. Like, love that for me when that happens, but I just honestly don't have that much time to prepare it. So I've been trying to get better at eating just like raw fruits and vegetables just so that it's easier, frankly. And it's been great. Like, I feel like I've gotten more and more used to it. And it's been exciting to be like, okay, and like reaffirm, you'd be like, I could grow this. Like, I could just grow this in my backyard without too much trouble. And it could genuinely like supplement our meals in kind of like a big way. So I'm super excited. Oh, kale. That's the other thing that I'm so excited about because I'm starting to learn to like kale a lot more. Like in salad, chopped really fine. So we're going to be growing some kale. As far as other things that I would love to do in the future, and I feel like slightly, I don't know, just embarrassed, maybe sharing, I don't know. But some of the other things that I think would be so fun to do in the future is eggs, to have our own eggs. And here's the thing. I don't think I could ever really get on board with like a full-on farm with animals. It's just not my thing. Trenton desperately wants the cows that like you can see like on the posters at Hobby Lobby that go over your like white distressed bed. And the, you know, the ones that have like better hair than I do, you know, kind of like the red, like the Auburn Swoop. I think they're Highland cows. Trenton desperately wants cows, but probably not in our future. I do go back and forth if I would ever want chickens. And here's the conclusion that I've come to. I grew up having chickens and I don't know that I would do it again. Here's what I would do. And I know people are going to come for me for this. I've decided that if I were to ever have birds for eggs, I would just get ducks. We've had ducks. I had ducks. I think it was my 13th birthday. And here's me saying that I have been cottagecore from the start. I asked for ducks for, I think, my 13th birthday. They were the cutest little ducklings. I got them. I have an April birthday. So I get these cute little ducks for my birthday. There was a big yellow one and then a little like brown one. We named them Basil and Parmesan. And I loved them. I'll have to share some pictures because it's just the cutest. They would follow me everywhere. They would like lay their little heads. And this is when they're like tiny, tiny, not like a little gross and like kind of out in the muck. But when I first got them, I would like lay my head on my pillow and they would like lay just like right under my hair and they would follow me all around the yard. I was like their little, what's that goose movie? Is it Fly Away Home? I was their little mama and I just loved them. They're just funny and they're sweet. They are loud and they are messy, but I just have a special place in my heart. And you can totally eat duck eggs. They taste just like chicken eggs. They're actually a lot bigger. So you get a lot more egg, I guess. So yeah, I would definitely get ducks, like the cute little, I don't know what kind of ducks they are that like stand up really tall and kind of have like the little skinny necks. But yeah, definitely would get some of those in the future if we had something like a pond and if we were in warm weather. I will say this, I don't think I could ever do any kind of animal, like any kind of outdoor animal in a cold environment. It just would not be worth it for me. So if we end up staying in the South and we have like a long growing season and like really mild winters, for sure, like we can get a little band of ducks. Band? I don't know. Gaggle? I know gaggle is geese. I'm not sure what ducks are, but I would get a couple ducks if we had those situations, and I would be over the moon because I think they're so cute. Like I said, don't think we would ever have a cow, but how cool would that be? Like I could definitely see myself like getting into making things from raw milk. But maybe that just, I feel like I've been making that my personality, mostly because I made yogurt. And I definitely slipped that in there as slyly as you thought I did. I made yogurt, and I just have to shout it from the rooftops because I think everyone should be making yogurt because it's so freaking simple. It's not like, here's the thing, I am not a science girl. I am not. Like, I crumble if there's more than like 5 steps to a recipe. I was the girl who like actually cried in chemistry class. So I get it if you're intimidated. It is not hard. Here's what you do. I can explain it to you right here, right here, right now. You'll be making yogurt before you know it. Get a gallon of whole milk. Do not get skim. Do not get 2%. Gallon of whole milk. Bring it to a boil or 200 degrees. The only thing you need that's semi-scientific here is a thermometer. Okay. Get it off Amazon. You can do this. Bring it to a boil around 200 degrees. Okay. Take it off the heat. Let it cool to at least 130 degrees. If it's any higher than 130, your yogurt won't develop because the live cultures will get killed off. But if you do it to about 130 or below, after that, go ahead and add a half a cup of yogurt. Literally just plain, no flavors, nothing. Do just Greek yogurt. Half a cup of Greek yogurt. The only thing to check, this is the only sciencey part, like I said, besides the thermometer, check that it's live culture. So literally just turn around the back of the container and look on the back. It should say active live cultures. Or once you start doing it, you'll always just have that last little bit of your yogurt batch. You can just use that. So yeah, you just literally stir it in, put it in the Instant Pot. If you have the yogurt button, press the yogurt button. I do mine for 9 to 10 hours because I like a really tangy, really thick yogurt. Let it cook for like 9 hours. I always just do it kind of like at dinner time and then it goes all night. I wake up in the next morning and then I strain it. Straining is the most messy part. To this point, I've just been doing it mostly through like a very clean cloth, like a cheesecloth. But I also know that there are yogurt strainers that you can get. So I feel like I'm actually going to be doing this long term. So I'll probably just invest in a yogurt strainer. When it's done, before you strain it, you can eat it. It's yogurt, but it's not Greek yogurt. So the more you strain yogurt, the more it becomes Greek yogurt. The thicker it will become. You're basically just straining out like the whey, which is the lactose, I think. I want to say lactate, but I don't think that's right. I think it's the lactose. And that's what makes it hard for your body to digest, especially if you have dairy issues. So yeah, strain it. But yeah, it's so good. It makes so much. It's the best yogurt I've ever had. So creamy. And I eat yogurt every single day. I eat it in my like overnight oats, have it in smoothies, have it as dessert. And now I literally just use like a gallon of milk and I have probably double the yogurt that I ever got for like, what? I think right now you're paying probably like $6 for like, I don't even know how many pints, ounces of yogurt it is, but it's not much. And I would finish it off in like 4 days and then I would be sad and waiting for the next time I went grocery shopping. So now I have probably double that much. It is not sweet, I have to say. So you will have to flavor it. But I just use like some stevia and some vanilla or some honey, some peanut butter, whatever you want. And then you can flavor it all these different ways. So yeah, that is definitely really has me feeling like a homesteading queen. Like I said, so fascinated with the idea of making as much food as you can at home. Not that I'm into like the like, oof, what is on my floor? Not that I'm into like the, oh my gosh, you have to get away from all the toxins and get organic this. I just think it's fun. I just genuinely think it's fun. And it is kind of fun, like in this economy to be like, okay, like how much of it can I make at home? It's gratifying. I love to cook and I don't know. I just think it's kind of satisfying, but I'm still learning a lot. So anyone that has tips, send them on over. I just think we could have a grand old time. It just is fun. We just get to pretend that we are like fairy princesses again, making everything and living it up and cutting flowers to put on our tables. And I'm just so excited for my garden this year and to learn a little bit more about like canning. I get scared about canning, I will say, because I basically just look at a jar and I'm like, botulism, and that's all I can think of. But I do think it would be so fun to be able to learn how to make like our own salsa this year. We're definitely planning on a salsa garden. Like, oh, that's another thing I forgot. We're growing jalapenos. But like pickles, I love pickles. I would love to be able to create our own pickles. I have made them once. Made them once when I was like 9 with my grandma. That was like my big wish for her visit was that she would teach me how to make pickles. So yeah, I would love to kind of get into it just a little bit, kind of dip my toes. Can things like marinara sauce. I don't think I would ever have the guts to get into things like, I mean, I've seen people that are like canning meat or like canning eggs. Is it like water bottling eggs? And then they'll just use them for months. I don't think I could ever do that. Props to you. That's probably something I will leave to other people, professionals who do that. But that is just kind of some of my own thoughts. But I really want to hear from you because I know that I'm not the only one who's just been so excited to like grow a garden and learn some of these other like fun little things. And I also want to make the plug that I know that some of these things I think sometimes come with like a political background or assumptions as well. And I wish it was not that way. I hope that it's been a very freeing place for me to come to realize that I'm a feminist and that, you know, I believe that I can do whatever job I want to do and have whatever life that I want to have and always stick up for myself, but that I also really enjoy and find a lot of fulfillment in doing things with my hands and doing, you know, and having kind of in some ways this, I'm drawn to a very feminine creative role, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I love it and it makes me happy and I have the choice to do whatever I want to do and to be whoever I want to be. And that's part of it. And I think, frankly, I've been, I don't know, maybe a little bit embarrassed, or like I said, I feel like we went through this girl boss era where we're like, no, none of that, you know, you should be wanting to, you know, bump up your pay and all these random things rather than, you know, make your own sandwich bread. And I don't think those things have to be separate. I think you can do both. I think that's the point of feminism, is that you can do anything that you want to do because you matter and what you want matters. And so yeah, that's just my little plug. I think what you think is cool and go after it. If you can hear Benny in the background, forgive him. He's had a long week of being indoors. He's starved for a little entertainment. So we will wrap up right there. Thank you so much for tuning in for another week. Like I said, I do want to hear from you. So send me all of the things that you're excited about for this upcoming season, this summer. I just want to hear about it. I want to chat about it. I want to geek out over our Pinterest boards together. Thank you for being here. Go ahead and leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed listening. And maybe write me a little review. That would make my day. But thank you so much for being here. This coming week, we have truly a fantastic guest. I can't believe she's coming on. Probably will be dropping more details about that on my Instagram. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you next week. Have a good week. Bye-bye.